As we get ready to open up our Bibles, let's go ahead and pray and just invite God into this time here. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your provision for us. And as we've talked about, you are faithful in providing for our needs. And Lord, in that you provide in order for us to be able to give. You invite us into a partnership with you for your kingdom, and that we can give to your glory and to your purposes in life. And Lord, as we think about that this day and what your word teaches us on this issue of giving, I just ask that you would just speak to our hearts on this issue, Lord, that you would speak to each and every person concerning where they're at. And I know many here give. Many may be struggling with how to give and where to give and what to give and how much to give. And Lord, we know that you have answers to those questions. And so God, we just invite you to speak to us this day. And we lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we go into giving, I want to mention something up front, like I did last week as we talked about debt, and just to give you full disclosure here. When we talk about giving, and especially giving here in our church, the pastors, the pastoral staff here at Peninsula Baptist have no idea who gives what amount, who does or who does not, or any of that thing. I can count on one hand how many people know that and have to know that, and they are trained in keeping that in confidence. And so that is not something that is publicized, and we don't dictate to anybody how much that they should be giving. And as I mentioned last week when we talked about debt, our church has no debt. Everything that we have is owned free and clear. God has given us a reserve in the bank that has helped in these economic times, as expenses have been above the giving. And so everything is current, everything is paid for. God is not broke, and his church has the resources that it needs. And so as we talk about this today, it's not a plea for money for this church. God's not pleading for money. God wants your heart in this. And one of the areas where we really battle in giving God our heart is money, and that's really why we're talking about this this month and this morning. So as we think about giving, the first thing that we have to establish is that it is important, it is crucial to give with the proper attitude, with the proper attitude. So what do we mean by the proper attitude? First is that we give out of a heart of love. We give out of a heart of love. 1 Corinthians 13:3 says, "If I give all I possess to the poor and surrender my body to the flames but have not love, I gain nothing. I gain nothing." Now, I don't know about you. I've never given all I have to the poor. I've never been through persecution to the point where my life is in danger. You know, those are pretty high callings there. And Paul says, even if you go to that extreme to follow Christ, but you don't have love for others, it doesn't gain you anything. So when we give, we better be doing it out of a heart of love, or else we're giving for the wrong reasons. Also look at Matthew 23:23. Jesus says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. You give a tenth of your spices, the mint, the dill, and the cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of the law. Things like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." What does Jesus put the emphasis on here? He puts the emphasis on the justice and the mercy and the faithfulness. He says, yes, you should give, but if you're doing that without these other things, you're ignoring part of the law, therefore you're in violation of the whole law, and you're a hypocrite in that. And that's something that I think some of us that have been in the church for a long time have to kind of wrestle with. Because we may be really good about giving our regular amount to God's work, but sometimes our hearts can grow cold about the needs of people. And Jesus makes it very clear that it's a both and situation. It's not just about what you give. It's about your heart towards people and your heart in giving. Second point here, not just we give out of a heart of love, but we give cheerfully. We give cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7 says, each man should give what he has decided to give, and decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not out of obligation or under compulsion, not reluctantly here. Now, the principle of giving is a principle, and it is an issue of obedience. But when it comes to the amount in the New Testament, we see here that it is what God has put in your heart to give. And we were talking about this in Sunday school, and really it comes down to, what has God called you to give? And if you don't give what God's called you to give, then you need to be talking to God about that. And so we need to be able to do it cheerfully. In fact, I would rather have somebody not give that is doing it and is bitter about it and feeling like, well, I'm paying my dues to God and I'm not really happy about it. I'd rather them not give if that's the attitude, because of what this verse is telling us, that we're to be doing it cheerfully. Remember, God wants your heart more than he needs your money. God is not broke. We've made that very clear the first week. He owns everything. So we need to get our attitude right about it first. And when we get that down, then we can begin to proceed in that. So as we proceed in that and how we give, the first thing that we see here in this is that we give to God first. We give to God first. Look at Proverbs 3:9. It says there in Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. When we say give to God first, when it comes to managing and stewarding our finances, that offering to God, whether it's a tithe or whatever amount that you are giving, needs to be the first priority in how you decide where your money is going that month. That's what it means to give your first fruits to God. See, it was much easier for them in an agrarian society to really get that, because everybody lived off of the land. And so the first of their crops, the first of their flocks were given to God and were taken to the temple for the Levites who had no land. And that way they were provided for. For us, it can be a little bit more difficult because, you know, it's most of it's cash. Most of us get a paycheck. Uncle Sam takes his part. And so we struggle with, you know, how do we track these dollars? What do we give? Where does it go? And really what the principle is that our priority in setting our budgets needs to be God. And I think what we find is, and this is what I found, is that if giving is an afterthought, meaning that you plan out your budget, maybe you don't even plan out a budget, and the money just goes, and you're not really sure where it goes, and then afterwards, you know, it's like, well, I've got a 20, and it's, you know, the end of the month, I've got a 20, I'll give God a 20 this month. I think what you would find is if you actually plan in advance and pray and ask God, God, how much should I give? And he puts an amount on your heart, and you do that up front, that he will make the rest of the budget stretch. That's my experience. That's what I've seen. Even from the point when we got married, when we were 19 and 20, and we were struggling college students, that was always at the top of the budget. And we've never missed a meal in 12 years, my wife and I. We've always had food, clothing, shelter. We've always had the things that we need. And when we make that a priority, God allows everything else to fall in line. Sometimes it's just really remarkable how that works out. So the question that's often asked is, how much should I give? How much to give? We're going to take a look at Mark chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. There, it says, Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came along and put in two very small copper coins worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, this widow has put in more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put in everything, all she had to live on. See, when God looks at the amount of giving, he doesn't look at your total net worth here and how much total dollars you're able to give. It's how much of a sacrifice is your gift. How much are you willing to trust him by giving a sacrificial gift there? Even if your sacrifice, depending on where you're at, maybe you're not working right now, maybe the money is incredibly tight, your sacrifice may be quite small, but it's still a significant sacrifice for you. I think God honors that gift. And for others, that sacrifice may be quite a bit because of the surplus they have. Jesus makes it very clear here that even though these people are giving vast amounts of money, it wasn't a sacrificial gift. It wasn't an act of worship. It was a show. It was pomp and circumstance. It's so interesting how wrong the Pharisees and the religious leaders of the day had it. They would design the giving box in the synagogues and the temple in such a way that when they dropped in their coins, it was loud. Because they wanted everybody to know how much money they gave. And Jesus cuts right through all of that, and he says, look at that poor widow. She gave everything she had, even though it was such an insignificant amount in the eyes of the world. To God, it was huge. And so when it comes to the amount to give, the New Testament takes the idea of tithes and offerings from the Old Testament and says it's sacrificial giving. Yeah, a tithe, a 10% gift to God for the vast majority of people is a huge sacrifice. And you have to be dependent upon God in order to take that step. For others, that sacrifice may be more than that. For others, that sacrifice may be less than that because they're just learning how to give. The principle is that we give sacrificially. Here's some things that as we ask this question, how much should I give? And I'm sure some of you are wrestling with this. A couple of things I want to challenge you to consider. First is that if you've never had a regular plan to give back to God's work, meaning like you've never budgeted, you've never set it aside at the beginning of the month, set it aside when you get the paycheck, if you've never done that and planned in advance how much you're going to give, would you consider starting to do that? I'm not saying how much it needs to be, just that you do it in a plan up front. Next challenge is if you have been doing that and giving regularly, but you've never gone to the point where you give a tithe, a 10% of your first fruits, a 10% of what God gives to you, would you consider that plan of regular giving, of stretching that to 10% and seeing what God does? Or for some, maybe you've been doing that faithfully for many years and you've been giving 10%. Consider the possibility that God is calling you to do more because you can do more and it be sacrificial in that for his kingdom. See, one of the things we've been emphasizing in this series is it's not about where you're at now. This series of Road to Financial Freedom is about where is God taking you? What are the things God's speaking to you on your heart on this? Because we're all a work in progress. We've all learned how to do this stuff. And so I think no matter where we're at, there's something God can challenge us and grow us on in this area. Next, let's talk a little bit about the blessings of giving. Because there are tremendous blessings when we give. First is that God draws our hearts towards Christ. Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, when you give to God, it requires that you trust in Him for the provision, and that draws you closer to Him. One of the biggest things, even the world identifies this, beyond even those that don't follow Christ and believe in the Bible would agree with this. The biggest way to get rid of the consumer mentality and how absorbed we are with our money is to just start giving money away. Just give it away, and you become less dependent upon money and less focused on it. The second blessing is that giving develops godly character and helps us conform to Christ. If our goal is to become more and more like Jesus, to have the image of God that is in each and every one of us but is marred by sin be revealed more and more, one of the ways to do that is to give. Why? Because of how much God has given us. See, when we give, the act of giving is a God-like thing because God has given us life. He has given us Jesus. He has given us salvation. God is the one who established the practice of giving. And when we give, it's a God-like thing. And the image of God, the becoming more like Christ, grows in us. And we become to look more and more like Jesus when we give. Next is that giving allows us to put treasures in heaven. Matthew 6:20 says, "But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal." You know, I've done a few funerals in my ministry, and not a single person has talked about how much money somebody had when they died. But people talk about how generous somebody is, how much they help other people, how much they love other people. We know these things, don't we? But sometimes we lose sight of it in the day-to-day living, and we forget that really the eternal things is what matters. Not how much money you've got at the end of life. Here's another interesting thing about giving, is that giving can produce a material increase to the giver. In 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about this. He says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. As it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now he who supplies seed to the sower and bread to the food will also supply and increase your store of seed and will enlarge the harvest of your righteousness. You will be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." There's a principle that we see played out time and time again, that when we give and we invest in eternity, we invest in the lives of people, we invest in the work of God, God sees that and he's going to funnel more resources your way because he knows you're going to steward it well. Now, we see that happen time and time again. But there's another thing that we see happen sometimes that I wrestle with, and maybe you wrestle with that as well. And that is that those that give, and they give faithfully, but they seem to constantly struggle financially. And I wonder, well, why is that? Because God said in other places that, you know, he's going to increase resources there when we give. And I think what it comes down to is this, that God is more concerned, again, with our heart and developing the character within us than he is with our material comfort right now. Because we have to keep in mind that eternal perspective in our lives. See, our eternal comfort is secure in Christ. That's a done deal. That is provided for. sometimes we want the material comfort right now because we think we deserve it right now, because we think we've done enough that it's our right to have it right now. But ultimately, God is developing the character that he wants to see in his children. And sometimes that means delayed blessing. That means delayed rewards. That means we go through some more challenges in order to learn what we need to learn. Some of these issues aren't easy to answer, but what I know is that God is doing a work in each and every person, and that work is different in different situations. And so, you know, we see times where people continue to struggle. I mean, you can look in the, you know, very faithful people that give of what they can in third world countries, but their situation isn't changing, but they're going to give out of what they have to give. But God is developing something and doing a work in that as well. So the other question that sometimes comes up is, to whom should we give? To whom should we give? A couple of things we want to mention there. One is that we give to the local church, to Christian workers, and to ministries. We give to places where God is working in and through people. That's how we give to the kingdom of God. A couple of verses here to mention. Numbers 18:21 says, I give to the Levites all the tithes in Israel as their inheritance in return for the work they do while serving at the tent of meeting. This was God's provision in the Old Testament for those that provided the worship for God's people, was that the tithes that were given to God then were given to the Levites, and that was their provision. Because they didn't have inherited land like the other tribes of Israel. They were dependent as a tribe of Israel and as those that served in the temple and in the places of worship. They were dependent upon the generosity of the other 11 tribes. And when the other 11 tribes weren't generous at times in Israel, you can go in the Old Testament, read the stories. Guess what the Levites had to do? They left the temple because they had to go work the fields because there was nothing coming in. And so then, guess what happened in the worship at the temple? There wasn't any. Because the Levites couldn't be there because they had to go feed their families. For 4,000 years, this is the way that God has established that those that provide for the worship of God, this is how they are provided for, so they don't have to go and do that, is by the generosity of the other people of God. 1 Corinthians 9:14 in the New Testament says this, in the same way, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel. The church in the New Testament continued the same pattern God had established, that those that God sets aside for his work are supported by those that follow God. So it's biblical for pastors, ministers, missionaries, and other Christian workers to earn their living by doing the work of the ministry. Like I said, God's been doing it this way for 4,000 years, ever since the establishment of the covenant with Israel under Moses' leadership. So this is the primary reason why in this series we've recommended that our primary giving to God is through a local church. That it goes through a local church. And one of the things that we talked about in the Sunday school class, a good reason for that is because when you give to a local church, all the purposes that God has given his people to do are fulfilled through those dollars. You know, a lot of us give additional monies to missions. But as a church, this year, we've seen $31,000 and some odd dollars go out to missions, whether it's teams from here going or missionaries we support overseas. And here locally, we've had $6,000 go out through the Deacon Fund to meet local needs this year. See, when you give locally, it goes to these places where you may not be able to give to that person, but the church can minister to them. And that's one of the real valuable reasons why we do that through the church. The other thing that we have to be aware of is the need to give to the poor. To give to the poor. Look at Proverbs 14:31. It says, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And in Matthew 25, Jesus says, whatever you've done for the least of these, you have done for me. These are some hard verses here for us that we got to wrap our minds around. That if we ignore the poor, we're telling God, their maker, that you should not have made that person. That they are of less value than I am, even though I have the same maker that they do. Wow, that's pretty bold to tell God that. I don't know about you. I don't want to be trying to tell God who he should have and should not have decided to have life. So giving to the poor, giving to those folks that have needs, you know, that's a huge thing for us to do as the body of Christ, as believers. And you can do that locally through the Deacon Fund here in our church. There's other ways you can do that as well. You can do that personally to somebody that you know has a need. You don't have to do it through the Deacon Fund. You can do it personally. You could go serve at his supper table. You could support a food bank. You could volunteer your time at a food bank. There's a lot of ways that you can reach out to those who are in need. And this time of year, we know those needs are pretty heavy and they're hitting home pretty hard. Well, as we wrap this up, here's kind of the big thing that we want to emphasize. First is be generous with God. Be generous with God. We say time and time again, you can't outgive God. The next is to be generous with others. God's going to give you opportunities to help others, to give to others. Let's be generous with them. And the last is that either way of these two things, God's going to be praised. Because he's asking you to do something. And when we obey God, God is praised. And we are rewarded in that, in our obedience. Let me just wrap up the message right now with a word of prayer, and then we're going to have some testimonies here on a few things, some stories that I want you to be able to hear. So let's pray, and then we'll have some sharing. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for this series on Road to Financial Freedom, Lord, and I thank you that when we give, it frees us of love for money, and it allows us to invest in eternity, to invest in what you, God, are doing in the lives of people. And we know that you have given so much, Lord, to us, and we just want to be able to give back to you in that and be able to partner with you and be part of the transforming work that you are doing through the power of the cross. Lord, it is a message, it is a truth that has changed our lives, and we want to see other lives changed by it as well. And we just thank you for that, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as we have some sharing here, I want to ask, there you are, I want to invite Linda to come up, Linda Gerke. I warned Linda about this. But as Linda's coming up, let me remind you, 2 weeks ago when we started on this crazy journey of Road to Financial Freedom, we did something a little different here at Peninsula Baptist. We gave back to everybody that was here $5. And $5 is not a lot. I found out it barely even buys a meal at McDonald's anymore. But God can do a lot with a little. And we challenged everybody to pray and ask God, how can I use this to bless somebody else? And Linda has a little story to share with you about what God put on her heart as she sat in here that day and listened to that challenge.
You know, first of all,
is that on?
There yep. You go. First of all, I was amazed that our church did that would give all of us that money to give us that opportunity to share with somebody else. And as I sat there, I felt that it was put on my heart, warm, fuzzy warm pajamas for children for Christmas, at Christmas. There's a lot of need out there in the community, and I prayed. I mean, it just came to me so quickly. That I didn't feel like it came from me, but I really felt that it came from the Lord. And so I got a hold of a few agencies, the Head Start and the Children's Protective Services, and I got some numbers of children. And, you know, this is something else I feel is a learning experience for me, because it's hard for me to ask. It's hard for me to go and ask. And it wasn't about asking for me, but it was still putting myself out there for rejection. And so anyway, right now I have a total of 54 children. And in 2 weeks, I have pretty much been able to meet that need. And I'm going to work with Carter's in Seaside to get a better deal, to stretch the dollars. And any money that I would have left over, I thought, you know, I'd give it to the community bank, food bank. So when Christy, who works at Head Start, pastor's wife, asked me this last Friday about, have you thought about, I think it was the ECAP. She told me where they're at, and I thought, you know, I'm running against a deadline where people have started asking ahead of time in the year for this kind of giving. And anyway, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to put it in the Lord's hands, and I am going to go visit the ECAP, and I still have time. I figure I've got till December. I figure December 10th to accomplish what I need to get things put together, wrapped up, and delivered. So I'm really excited about it, and I know that other people have done things with their $5, and you know, I almost didn't want to share what I was doing because I didn't want it to be about me. You know, I don't want it to be about me, but for those children, and it's just a blessing for the ones that give, for the ones that receive, for the ones that are providing the opportunity. It just kind of goes all around. So that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Linda, for sharing that. I got a couple others that I want to share with you as well, folks that have sent in just a little story about what God did. This this lady writes, on Veterans Day, I was at a local grocery store shopping for my mom. I noticed a veteran sitting at a small table selling the traditional red poppies that they sell. And in the past, I have at times avoided these men sitting outside on a cold, rainy day or standing at the local post office for hours at a time. Then I remembered the envelope in my purse for God's purpose from the church. God marched me over to that man, and I told him about our mission and handed him the envelope. He stood up and gave me a big hug, choked up with tears in both of our eyes. And I told him to give it to someone who needed it and tell them that God loves them and we are proud of them all. I realized at that moment that these veterans feel all the pain and the pride of every soldier who is in combat today. What a wonderful opportunity there to make a difference. And this is the last one that I'm going to share with you today. But this comes from another lady here in our church who's relatively new to our fellowship. And she writes, I'm so excited to be part of the body of Christ here at Peninsula Baptist. I just had to share the exciting way God used the $5 that was entrusted to me. I was asked if I could drive one of our dear ladies to her doctor's appointment in Longview. It was such a blessing. Even though I'm new to the congregation, I was thrilled to be able to minister in this way. What appeared to be a number of obstacles hindering our departure turned out to be minor setbacks that ate away at our time. Eventually, though, we were off. We enjoyed some lively conversation, and after an hour, I had made a new friend. When her appointment was through, I suggested we have some lunch. Now, due to some of her physical limitations, getting in and out of my truck proved to be no easy task, and I was a little worried about where we would go. To my delight, my new friend suggested Burger King's drive-thru. However, I could sense a little apprehension, and she finally admitted that she would need to go to a bank to retrieve some cash since we couldn't take the time before leaving home. Not to worry, I told her. God has provided lunch money, and I just happen to have it in this envelope in my purse. Well, it took a little convincing on my part to persuade her that I was telling the truth. But when I told her that our pastor was teaching us how to let God bless us, she agreed indeed that was a fine lesson. I used the money to pay for our burgers, and we visited as we ate, then headed back to Ocean Park through a deluge of rain. But that's not the end of the story. A few days later, as I headed out on some errands, I stopped by the Kiss of Mist for a coffee. There was quite a lively conversation going on with the gentleman and lady in the car in front of me. The wait was becoming longer than usual, and the conversation was getting more animated. At one point, the lady took a bill of an indiscernible amount and waved it to the man, who handed it to the attendant. Finally, I thought, let's get this show on the road. I've got places to go. The coffee attendant, haven't you been there at times? I know I have. The coffee attendant passed their order through the window. They pulled away, and I pulled up to place my order. This is your lucky day, the attendant smiled. You're next in line for a pay it forward. And she snapped a crisp $5 bill. That man in front of you just bought your coffee. And the people in front of him had seen the veteran sticker on his car and had bought his coffee. My mouth popped open. Well, that's only half the story, I smiled back. Then I had the great joy of sharing the challenge that our pastor had put before us with a $5 bill. The coffee attendant's eyes filled with tears, and she told me she felt really special to have been part of such a plan as God has for all of us. I realized that we are so limited in our human experience. I thought the blessing was the hamburger, but God sees beyond what we can. The real blessing was being able to let someone know that they are part of God's big plan. Who knows how far $5 can go when God is in charge? I'd love to know who got blessed next. You know, these are just some stories of how amazing God is when his people just respond in faith. And God does the rest. God is always at work, and he's always looking for an opportunity to do something in and through us if we would just listen to what he's speaking to us about. Just wonderful stories. I want to ask the worship team to come up. They're going to close us in a song. And I invite you to stand with us as we have an opportunity today just worship in response to this amazing God that we serve. This God that orchestrates things like this, where he multiplies the gifts that we have. What a wonderful God that we serve. And as we prepare to close in this song, I'm going to invite the elders to be up here. And if there is anything that we can just pray with you or for you about, I invite you to come up. We'd love to pray with you this morning. And Kelly, I'll let you take it from here.
He leadeth me, O blessed God, O words with heavenly comfort fraught. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, he leadeth me, by his own hand he leadeth me. His faithful follower
God leading you today? I know, as Kelly shared earlier, some of you may still be wrestling with what God's putting on your heart to bless somebody with that gift you received. But, you know, it's not just that. It's every day. How is God leading us? And what are the ways God's giving us opportunities to bless other people? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the opportunities that you give to us to be a blessing to other people. And Lord, as we just seek to apply your word this morning, God, we thank you for your provision for us, that you provide for our needs. And Lord, as we have opportunity to give to the needs of others, to give to your work, to give out of love and joy because of what you have given to us, Lord, we ask that you would just pour out your blessings on those who receive it, on those who give it, and Lord, that you would just direct our hearts to be looking for those opportunities to be a blessing to somebody else. God, go before us this week. I ask your blessing on these people that are here this day. God, we are so in awe of what you are doing in each of our lives for the ways that you are working. Lord, we lift up your name for it. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Well, as you are on your way out, the elders will continue to be up here if there's any way that we can be praying with you. Thanks.